This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
When the powers of evil draw on the powers of imagination, the results can be explosive. This week on the podcast, Hardy Boys Case Files number 86, Virtual Villainy, by Franklin Dixon. I've never switched the order before.
Perfect. Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytay.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are discussing another Hardy Boys case file. It's number 86, entitled Virtual Villainy by Franklin Dixon.
Double O
Dixon. And we have a very special guest. Very excited to have her here. She was a storyboard artist on Regular Show, Steven Universe, and was most recently the supervising producer, aka one of my bosses, on Infinity Train. It's Madeline Carey-Pell.
Hello.
Yay.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Wow.
My pleasure.
And you suggested this book because you found it at your dad's house?
Yes.
Is this correct?
Yes. My brother and I went to go help him clean out his garage, and in the process found this Hardy Boys book, and the cover alone sells it. If you could see it, boy, would you be wowed.
Yeah.
By how the powers of evil draw on the powers of magic.
I mean, because it appears that they are fighting ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghost motorcyclists.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Ooh. And they're wearing little bike helmets.
What we later
virtual
find out
reality.
Data helmets.
Yeah,
data helmets. Data helmets. And data gloves and data suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For their data game.
Yeah,
their
full,
data game.
Full suits. Like, these guys are being mo-capped.
Yes.
To play this game.
And it is, although it is, I believe, the year 1993, it is so realistic. Oh, excuse me, 1994. This technology is not at all bad and is in fact very good.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
because it's like they're there in Death Mall.
Yeah. When they literally have to use a computer the size of a room and take like 45 minutes to do like a Bing search.
Yeah.
They're like, but I couldn't even believe how realistic these thugs were. Okay, also the thugs, I was...
The thugs. Long matted hair.
Yeah, dirty, greasy shirts and chains. I was like, chains in chains. The mall?
Yeah, chains wrapped around his fist.
Oh, it's...
What? Thugs.
Yeah, major thugs. But don't worry, they are virtual thugs.
Mm. Virtual thugs, yes. Maddie, would you like to read the back of the book?
Sure thing.
Do the honors.
Him. Hardy Boys number, case files number 86. I already fucked it up. All right. Deadly Force in San Francisco to attend VidCon. Not the one you're thinking of.
No.
A video game convention. The Hardys uncover a case of high-tech industrial espionage. The Zyrodian Corporation has lost some of its most futuristic designs to the black market. And as Frank and Joe seek to trace the piracy to its source, they discover that the video games have taken on a new and dangerous dimension. In a world of virtual reality, the games have been programmed for terror.
Lies.
Not true.
Sorry, keep going.
No, it's all good. The Hardys match wits and reflexes with gangs of motorcycle marauders, back alley brawlers and ninja warriors.
I mean, I guess technically.
I mean, yes, but not at all in the manner that, anyway.
No, not quite. but they know that the ultimate challenge will come at the hands of a computer and criminal mastermind, an elusive foe who has already demonstrated a real genius for murder.
Oh.
It's just, it's like, so, like, technically that is true. But
this is like when
essentially it is a lie that this is happening in the action of the book. They're literally only doing that in the video game.
It reads like a riddle that you have to solve where like the person can't they are not allowed to tell you a lie, but they can mislead you. Yeah. You know, it's like you run into like this troll that's like, I can,
one of us always says
certain death is like behind that one's door.
Because like, okay, all of the fighting to find the video game pirater is done in real life. They do not have to like enter a virtual reality to discover the man.
I was really...
Spoiler alert, it's a man. Yeah,
they do
it's
have to play a Game Boy, though.
So they do.
Warthog's Revenge.
Yeah, and it has, like, that has the code. That somehow has the entire code of...
A virtual
VR game.
Yeah. Like, truly, some of the most advanced technology of anyone's time. Even
I mean,
ours.
I guess it's all ones and zeros, Lindsay. Yeah. That's all it is.
When we were working on Infinity Train in its first year, we were invited to do a virtual reality like game.
Yeah, the in-house game designers had put together, I think that using Oculus Rift, like a virtual reality experience where it was like a co-op puzzle thing. It was fantastic. Mm. I'm very sorry it doesn't exist, and it sounds like I'm making up something really cool that no one will ever get to see. But I saw it, so be happy for me.
And I saw you see it.
Yeah.
I mean, so they all played that, and like in the year of our Lord 2017, I wouldn't say if I were you, Maddie. Well, you tell me, Maddie. Mm-hmm. Were you like, oh my God, this is real? This is
I was constantly like scared by things because they seem so realistic.
Okay, I want to tell you though, I've done VR things. Lindsay, I think you would be scared by some of it because I did a couple of VR things. One was a horror game, so that was kind of scary. It is like, and this was on Oculus Rift too. So, I mean, there were two things. One, because I played two things. One, I played at 8-Bit Circus. This was back pre-pandemo. And that's like a VR... I guess arcade. I mean, they have a ton of other stuff, but they have a lot of VR experiences and games you can do. And that one, even though it was like very lo-fi, what's it called? Like graphics compared, like it was like very like Resident Evil 1, like very not scary, but I still was like a little startled and a little freaked out. Like there are parts where you have to like, you know, walk along a like cliff that's blowing wind on you. And it is kind of scary. Like, and when I had to face this like Minotaur at the end, I was like kind of scared.
Let me explain what I'm actually making fun of, which is not that you might be startled by something coming at you, because like even if you're playing just a video, I couldn't play Zelda Breath of the Wild because of my fear of heights. And that's happening very much outside of my reality on a screen. I'm holding a controller. I should know full well I am in danger of actual death. Yeah, what I'm making fun of is the idea that you could possibly think it's actual real life. Right. As though the graphics are so good that like I'm literally seeing my own hand in the game. That's not taking place. Jump scares and like fun, certainly.
Yeah.
Actual confusion with reality, no.
No, I was never at any point actually confused and thinking that I was in a labyrinth.
Yes.
Patrolled by a minotaur.
And you weren't like looking down and seeing your own actual real life Kelly Nugent body.
No. I was seeing, And like, you know, and then when I played the Star Wars one where like Darth Vader comes and like you're supposed to get out.
Yeah.
I was actually pretty shocked by like how nervous I was. Mm-hmm. Like, when I knew that like my ship was going to get boarded by stormtroopers and he was going to come in. Also, he was like scarily tall. But then I was like, is he a daddy? Like, it was like all very confusing. But I was like truly like I did feel like very scared, but I did not ever think, oh, no,
there's an actual man in front of me.
Right. I just like close my eyes sometimes.
Yeah. But no, you're right. Like, I do think one of the best things about the book is thinking like things they got right that did happen and things that like, no, that didn't work like that. But some VR stuff, because like in relation to the fear of heights thing, I have done a VR thing where you have to jump off a building. And so you're like looking down at the ground. And I was too scared. I'm like, I know I'm standing on solid ground, but I am kind of too scared to jump off this plank and just plummet to the ground. Like, even though it's scary. Know everything
a fear
around
of heights
me.
Cannot be told what is real and what is fake.
I literally, like, in the one at 8-Bit Circus, there's like, so you're on this like little ledge and you're supposed to be like crab walking. Mm-hmm. But it's like this snowy ledge and they have freaking wind blowing on you.
Wow.
And so you do like actually like I was like, I don't want to keep going. But then I did.
Because you're getting a physical sensation.
I just closed my eyes. Yeah. however, the part. OK, this is the part that I was like, OK, I can't buy this. OK, so when they take off, they're like. Things and they're like,
they're data helmets.
And also they are literally doing karate like all over the place.
Like Frank's spinning karate kick hurled the second thug backwards through a store window.
Because here's the thing, people today and nowadays like break through their coffee tables just like playing non-karate kick VR. And these two boys, I just would have loved to be a fly on the wall of this basketball court, I guess, that they're in.
Yeah.
When they're like full on fight, like fighting.
Yeah. Throwing out their flechettes or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am glad that we are talking about this book with you, Maddie, because you are an artist and have experience in animation and can maybe tell us how much of the, and although it's not quite the same thing, maybe you know a little bit more about how video games are made, or like Kelly, you're an expert at playing video games, certainly. So maybe you know more of the background too. And because you've done VO, I was reading in particular, I was like, is this how this works? Particularly at this section when they go into research and development. And it says...
Oh, the pointillism?
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to bring up. So they walk in, blah, blah, blah. This is our starting point in game design, Amanda said, picking up one of his completed sheets. The drawing paper was divided into panels like a page from a comic book, but bigger. Every game from start to finish is made into a storyboard. So Chuck makes up the story, Joe asked. Well, no, there's a script, blah, 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 shut up. So it says, here a young man in combat fatigues, was working on a larger...
That's how wacky this office is.
I know, they're just like all so young and so cool, and they dress like so interestingly. working on a larger drawing of a ninja, using only tiny dots made with a fine-tipped pen. He looked up and grinned. Yo, Amanda, he said, want me to tell the tourists what's going on? Sure, Bob. If you don't, also his name is Bob, which is very funny to me. I'm working on an animation sequence for Ninja Masters 3, Bob replied. This dude is the lead ninja. Why are you doing everything in dots? Joe asked. Why not just draw lines? Mm-hmm. Good question, Bob said. The thing is, pointillism, drawing in dots, looks better on a computer screen. If you look very closely at a monitor or even a TV screen, you'll see that the picture is really a field of tiny dots or pixels. Come on, I'll show you how it works, Amanda said. Thanks, Bob. And I'm like, that's not, like, you don't have, like, fucking Monet over here doing pointillism.
Yeah.
The reason they're pixels is because of the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah. I feel like pointillism is the author's way of speaking to the lay person. Like, maybe you don't know what a pixel is, but you've heard of pointillism, I guess. I don't know. That's
because everyone knows that about like LaGrange or whatever. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, also, yeah, I agree. I think that they were trying to like personize pixels.
You don't draw the real life version of pixels, aka pointillism.
No, you don't do it with points.
And
you
then
do it
put
with
it
pixels.
In a computer because it reads better to the computer. It's just literally that's how the technology creates the visual.
Mm-hmm. It's also interesting
was
that
any
like,
research done for this book, that's the wildest description of a video game art.
Well, I wonder, like, because I don't know how they did video game art in 1994. Because also 94, see, it's really hard to conceptualize graphics at that
era
level.
Yeah, this was like Super NES.
Yeah.
Era. Like,
yeah.
I don't think the PlayStation had even come out.
No,
yet.
PlayStation was 97 or 98.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I was fucking around on an Amiga in 1994. And like the other thing, like the thing that I thought was really interesting, and maybe like I'm not an artist, so I can't really speak on this, but I thought it was interesting that like so super in it, like what things were not even thought of because they weren't a thing back then. Mm-hmm. And like digital art not being like using, because the guy's drawing on paper and then like scanning it and then they're putting it into the computer rather than using like a tablet or like, you know, like I thought that was an interesting oversight.
Yeah, that's really, again, no idea, unfortunately. But yeah, I think because like I've seen stuff about, oh, when we made Super Mario Brothers, you know, we draw it on graph paper or whatever. And I can see that as like a preliminary planning stage thing and then do it in computer as pixels. But yeah, I think pointillism is just like, that feels to me like how the author thought of it, how it yes. made sense to them. And they're
exactly.
like, people are going to get this. I know how to sell it. So, yeah, I think there's a lot. There's probably a lot of liberties and oversimplification happening. Mm-hmm. And I feel like also they like, yeah, if you look at a screen close, you can see it's just tiny dots. Again, that feels like a thing where the author was like, I noticed this. Mm-hmm. Isn't that curious? That's
yeah.
quite funny, won't you say?
Mm-hmm. It's because it looks better on a screen, not because this is where technology's at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this looks better on a screen rather than this is what we can do.
We can do. Like, and it'll never get better. It'll never get better.
But
we never want it not to look like dots.
But apparently it is better than we ever thought possible because it's so fucking realistic.
Yeah. Again, I joked earlier, like, I'm scared of what's coming out of the screen, but that happens to Joe, like, so many times. He's like, whoa!
He's like the audience for the, like, train movie, that, like, very first train movie ever.
Yeah.
But constantly.
So realistic.
He's constantly scared.
Yeah.
So, for the plot, what we've got going on is our boys, Frank and Joe. Hardy.
Hardy, that is.
Hardy. maybe you've heard of them. They are in Silicon Valley for mm-hmm. VidCon, because they were invited by yet another friend of their dad's.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just
so
an
many friends
supply.
Of their dad. You know
yeah,
what?
A friend
this
of
is
their
some
dad's.
Fucking nepotism. These kids, like, constantly, like, their dad's friends yeah. are just setting them up with shit.
Yes. Fenton Hardy has had a long and rich life, too.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, he's an internationally known detective, as we are told in this book. It's like the kind of the way on Murder She Wrote, Jessica always has just some other
oh, God,
niece and nephew
yeah. oh,
you've
yeah.
never heard of.
I was
going to
say the same thing. Like, oh, my old friend in the military. Oh, I have a friend who works at the Pentagon. I have someone on the committee at Pratt or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, this old beau of mine from high school, community theater.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. There's never not a friend of their dad's around.
Mm-hmm.
So they're checking out this company. What is
Zyrodian?
It?
Zyrodian.
Zyrodian. Starts with an X. Mm. Next up is a Y. Zyrodian.
Yeah.
And the head of Zyrodian, Amanda, very young, genius, graduated MIT at 15. She started this video game company, kind of a gadget buff as well. She is showing them around. They've just played Death Mall, their big virtual reality game that they're working on.
Also,
and then,
quick thing. Good mm-hmm. thing those suits fit all sizes, because, like, I don't know.
Oh, thank
Indeed.
God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah, like that they're not, like the ends of the fingers are not just like flopping off. Like, yeah. Yeah, these are some like real, like morph suit type outfits.
Yeah, it's kind of like in Back to the Future too, how it just like suctions up to your body if you press the button.
Yeah, Ava plug suit, if you will.
Yeah.
Sorry, so they have not at all. Please interject whenever. So we're just all walking each other through the plot now for the listeners. They just finished playing this game. They go to the office of Tom
Trent.
Trent.
Tom Trent.
Tom Trent.
Old TT.
TT, friend of their dad's, who has like, wanted them to see the offices in VidCon, but really he wants these teenage boys to investigate the rampant piracy problem they're experiencing.
I know that the conceit of these books is that they are very good detectives and everyone knows that they're very good detectives. But every time I am shocked that these like adults want the help of these fucking dweeb ass teenage boys to like do the, like, this is not like, oh no, like the mystery of the like cursed shoe or whatever. This is like,
yeah, and it's not like, oh, we were just around when this started happening. Yeah, like, no, they've been like flown out. Mm-hmm.
He flew them out, put them up in a hotel.
They're teenagers. They can go like hang out at the arcade where certainly the fucking thieves are like talking about their plan at the arcade.
Is like a. They're on spring break, but the piracy's been happening for months. So was he just waiting around until they were free?
Yeah.
He has a calendar. Waiting for their schedule to open up.
He has a calendar. It's like Xing off the days until the Hardy Boys are on spring break.
So yeah, like, I know I could hire someone in San Francisco, but what if I flew in some high-class talent from my old pal, Fenton?
And meanwhile, Amanda is literally working with the FBI on this.
Yeah.
Also, that, like... It was really funny to me when Amanda's like, I just feel like they're too young to do this. And I was like, correct. And then Tom was like, well, you're young. And I'm like, okay, but she's 30.
Yeah.
And also like.
And she like had a lot of training for what she's doing.
Yeah. And she's like a literal genius. Like, say what you will about the Hardy Boys, but I don't think they're geniuses. Yeah. Like, they're just like good at karate, and
I
like
think they have a suppressed fear response. And I think that's what gets into a lot of situations.
Yes,
and like they don't feel pain like others. Maybe.
Did you
like,
also, yes.
Wow, we almost got crushed by that shipping container. We better look into this. Not holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. And they're
Someone
just like, oh,
was crushed really, to death.
Yeah, I could really go for some hot dogs.
Yeah,
and they're. Also, I know this thing I noticed about this book or these books in general that I always forget for Hardy Boys, and I think Nancy Drew too, is that these ones, like, they're so, like, stuff just keeps fucking happening, like, really fast.
Yeah.
And they have not really any opinions about anything. They're just like, oh, I think we should investigate.
Yeah. They don't have any hunches or. Leads or ideas. They're just like, a thing happened. Let's go.
We should look into
look
it.
Look around where the thing happened.
Basically, they keep waiting until the next event triggers.
Yeah.
It happens to give them more information each time until they solve it ultimately.
So how soon did you guys guess that it was Jack?
The second we met Jack. The second we met Jack.
Same.
I thought it was Jack, but then it felt like they were casting a lot of doubt on Amanda. Like, it was going to be a twist that, like, they were working so closely with her, and she's a genius. She's the only one who knew how to get into her own apartment, yada, yada. I thought they were setting it up to be, psych, it was her the whole time.
I also had glimpses or, like, flickers of ideas that maybe it was Amanda, because I felt like they were making Jack seem way too fucking guilty at first. Like, he had so much motive. He had so much, like, also, like, he's definitely, like, the inventor of, like, crunch, right? Like, the toxic fucking, like, crunch.
The gym.
What's it called? Culture.
Like, in video game design. Crunch where, like, oh, you'd like work all through the night, all weekends, constantly, you cannot go home, that sort of thing. He even talks later about, like, wanting to limit coffee breaks, like, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I want to track employees' movements at all times.
Yeah. I was like, this guy
This is a rise and grind.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah. For sure. Like lots of articles we've written about him like 20 years from now.
Yeah. Like, and he's going to come out with like a book called The 5 Minute Morning. And yeah. For sure. I like we say it's like, oh, he was given so much motive. But like at the same time, I was like, but that like his goals are so pathetically low.
Oh my God, dream bigger. Yeah.
It gets set up in the end that it's like they're like, "Oh my God, it wasn't about the games at all. It was about sneaking out the code for Death Maul or virtual reality because the technology is so insanely advanced. Like you can power everything this. You could sell it to any government." By the time we actually get to Jack's confession, he's like, yeah, I was selling all those games to make money to start my own game company so that I could make my dream game, clean up your room.
Yeah.
And I was like, so he was just selling games for money? Then it wasn't at all about this higher level thing.
Not really, no.
So sad.
Although, here's the other thing. I think they should have believed in him a little more because life sim games and that kind of shit, Animal Crossing, all that.
Exactly.
He was right. And, I know that he, like, seems, like, very pro-crunch, which is bad. But I felt like his dislike for Willie was, I felt I was annoyed by Willie as well. Yeah, because
yeah, like, some of the shit he did. No, that's not cool.
I'm like
the wildly illegal.
Yeah, like A, from the small stuff of being like, yeah, I'm late on my deadline. Who gives a shit? Like, that kind of attitude. But then...
And yeah, I'm not giving updates on where I am in the project.
Yeah. And then, I mean, this is how you can tell that this is for sure a work of fiction because he was harassing male employees of a video game company.
Wait a minute. Which
is a little bit, but whatever he was, well, like he would. One. Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. There was another one, a woman with a buzz cut. Portable radio.
Her portable radio.
Yeah. But, like, he was, like, you know, doing that whole, like, hey, your fly's down thing, which.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so boring.
That's not so, a like, joke. That's really bad.
Snooze prank.
Like, if someone did that to me, I'd just be like, okay, so can we just, like, get this off my computer?
Get to the next screen.
So I needed your notes on this.
And it's just like, your fly's down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So on page 3, you had a thing.
Really funny, Willie. So on Ninja Masters 12, we were talking about how I need 12 more points to make this guy's nose.
Yeah. It's like, we're missing assets for scene 4. I don't know where they are. Can you track them down on the server?
And he's like, I'm freezing your debit card.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. I'll see you later.
He just seems like a menace.
Yes.
Like, he is very much...
Oh, here's where I was on Willie's side.
Okay.
He was like, oh, yeah, I got this rap group to perform at the party. And he's
I hate rap music. I hate it. Also, Tom being like, but the rap group made the party fun. Like,
oh, my God, Tom.
What a natural phrase to say.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tom was such, like, when they thought it was Tom, I was like, the Hardy Boys are the worst detectives in the world. No way is it fucking Tom.
Yeah. That definitely plays back into them, like, not having opinions on anything. Because it really feels like Amanda comes to this conclusion and they're like, okay, we'll go to him now. And then they talk to him and it's like, okay, Tom, you did it. Tell us why you did it. And then, like, maybe he didn't do it. And then Jack did it.
They truly just accept whatever information is being given to them with, like, no discretion, no judgment, no critical thinking. They're just like, well, he is right about the fact that it might not be him. So let's entertain that notion now. Well, but while still keeping in mind that it could, in fact, be him. It's so robotic and boring.
When they are faced with Jack at the very end, being like, why are you playing the Warthog game? And they're like, and he's like being very fucking
weird,
like suspicious.
It.
Like he's like, and they're like, we'll put it back. And he's like, no, you shouldn't have it on you. And then leaves.
And it's like, and extremely obvious that that's not why he's upset.
And it's literally like while they are postulating to each other who the person that is trying to smuggle out the Warthog game could be.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, wow, he really is uptight. And it's like, dude,
a little
you,
more than that, you guys.
They're literally, they are, these are maybe the worst detectives we've ever read about. They're so bad.
Yeah, they know so little about human interactions that they can't deduce things that are very obvious to others. It's absurd.
Total blank slates. Every piece of information they're given is like a new thing they're learning about being human.
Yeah.
I also love that there are stakes presented to us, but then it turns out the stakes are nothing.
Yeah.
Like when they're like, oh, check out. Okay, first. Okay, this is another example of why they're such bad detectives. So they walk into this like warehouse and they're like, two video game stations. And each of them say, play me Joe, play me Frank. And I forget which of the twins, no, not twins, which of the brothers decides he needs to play it.
Joe.
But I'm like, why would you fucking do this?
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And Amanda says out loud, like, don't play that. That's weird.
But it said Joe played this, so I'm going to play it. And he's obsessed with video games.
And they're like, this is called Dan Bennett, the customs guy or the FBI guy that is helping them. And it's like, yeah, but that could take like minutes. So I'm going to play a few rounds in the meantime.
I know. He cannot
go harm.
He's like, but then I would be left alone with my thoughts. I have to keep playing.
And I have none. It's too quiet in here.
So he starts playing. And of fucking course, right? Amanda and I guess, is it Frank? Wait, which one plays? Joe plays.
So Frank is like.
Yeah. Frank and Amanda find the plastic explosives and they're like, it's wired to explode when he loses. But then he's like, it's
also
fine. The game pauses.
I
don't know.
And Joe takes this information like, whoa, weird.
Yeah.
And then he's like, anyway.
He's like, huh, I guess I better do well.
Yeah.
And then they just.
You guys should get out of here. I got this.
And then they just. Like the game pauses by itself and they just leave and then it explodes and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, ridiculous.
Yeah, he's like, I know exactly when to pause it. Oh, all right.
Okay.
And I know exactly how long it pauses.
Yeah.
And then he's
fine. Because
I'm
obsessed. And it is called, again, just to remind the listeners, Warthog's Revenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, the names of the games in this, like, Zyrodian is a very specific kind of video game maker because like they play that other game where it's like we have to rescue a crew and fight a blob under sea and all of their games are just like fighting, punching, kicking creatures.
Are they just like beat 'em ups? Is that their
side scroll beat 'em ups?
Okay, that's the other thing. It's like they say like 20 of our games this year alone have been pirated. I'm like, you make 20 games? What are you telling me?
20?
So some
and that's
of the games
not even
I wrote,
all the games you made? That's
no.
Insane.
Yeah, 20 of the games. We made 21. That's
they didn't
so
want
many
that
games.
Last game. What was that last game? Clean up your room.
Clean up your room. No one wanted it.
So the games I wrote down that they've made are Warthog's Revenge, and they made Zombie Street Fight, which got pirated to be renamed Zombie Massacre. Mm-hmm. And when I say pirated, I in fact don't mean pirated at all. I mean they were literally the same cartridge with a new label put on. Not
because their warehouses and factories are all automated. That's the danger of putting your fate in the hands of computers.
We need to bring back blue collar jobs. Killer Fighting Bees, Ninja Master, Death Mall, obviously, Back Alley Brawler, Doomsday Avenger. And then Jack's two games that he doesn't get made are Clean Up Your Room and No, You're Not Old Enough.
Okay, No, You're Not Old Enough, though. I was scared about that game because I just feel it's a little pedo-ish. I was just like, I don't want to know what the person's not old enough to do.
Well,
he explained it.
Got a very, yes. I got a very upsetting idea of what Jack's childhood must have been like.
Yeah.
A lot of like child named it. Kind of like, if your room isn't clean, then I'm going to scrub your nails with a Brillo pad and bleach kind of feel.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting from Jack. And I was like, I'm just not going to even think about how upsetting the title No, You're Not Old Enough is.
Yeah. Yeah. Disturbing. He reminded me. Okay. You know who I was picturing for like his look? The Crispin Glover in Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I was picturing that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like a suit with like that plastered helmet hair. And I bet you Crispin Glover could play the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This summer, kind of picturing Jack Milner is Crispin Glover
in Virtual Villainy.
We went straight to Case File 86 for the first
movie. Yeah. Well, you go with the big seller. That's the single off the album
of
the titles. I pictured him having a... Even though it does not say this at all, I think he's got very close clipped hair that seemed like his part was done with a ruler, it said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I kept picturing him with like a kind of receding hairline and like a greasy long ponytail, but with a like suit.
I guess I would have pictured Willie as more of a ponytail type.
Yeah. Willie was my ponytail man.
Okay. Some of the descriptions in this book, it's very funny, like who gets what level of description.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, of course, Amanda is like, she comes in with a suit jacket and jeans and long red hair. And but then like Tom Trent's description is like a middle-aged guy with the start of a paunch.
It's like, damn, the start of a paunch. Sorry. I was like, cruel.
Exactly. It's a harsh Franklin. What the hell?
Yeah. That was based off of someone he knew for sure.
Or him.
Or his
late 40s, bit of a paunch.
Fucking loser, Tom.
Yeah.
You're almost 50. You're letting yourself go. You deserve this hacker cartoon. The cartoon put there by Jack keeps appearing on Tom's screen where he is being, a cartoon version of him is being chased by thugs. And it says like, you're dead, Tom. Just every time. And it comes with some sort of computer virus along with it.
Okay. That is so, it's so nothing. Like, it keeps happening, but Tom is never in danger in the entire book. His life is never once the target.
No.
He's like almost not in it very much.
Yeah.
Like, and it never happens to Amanda, who is the co-owner of the company. Like, it only happens to Tom. So like, what is the deal? What does it matter?
He is so not in the book that when they were like, it's Tom, I was like, who? And like, truly had to be like, wait, who is Tom? I was like, oh, Tom, the boss guy? Okay. Like, it was so outside of the realm of possibility that it could be Tom.
And they had to update Tom on everything that happened because he was never present for it.
I know.
They were like, why do you think it's me? And they had to tell him the events of the entire book.
And we had to be there for it. Which
and he's like, what's been happening?
Last week on.
Yeah.
The only kind of personalities that Frank and Joe have is that they kind of do these like very bland quips at each other during like extreme danger.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay. Were you guys having like major trouble understanding what the fuck was going on during any of their like danger experiences?
Yeah.
Like when they were running around in the crane room, I was like, what is happening? I did not get, like, I was like, what? They were like, things were whizzing by.
I feel like my brain put in an abridged version. It's like, it's something like this, I think.
Yeah.
And then they got out.
Yeah. I basically, my mind was just like, don't waste the brain power on this. Yeah. I just kept going. I was like, there's cranes going and like big boxes are moving.
Yeah. There was one, it's like, it hit him square in the shoulders. And I'm like, wait, both shoulders?
Yeah.
Wait, where?
Like in the back?
And I was like, wait, a giant container managed to hit just one part of his body?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like the point.
Yeah.
It's like, my right shoulder. But it's like a huge, like a giant, like half a room size shipping container.
It was shipping containers, right?
Yes. Shipping containers are fucking huge.
Huge.
So I was like, okay, Lindsay, they're whizzing around and at one point they're dominoes. All right, got it.
Yeah. But then, so then there's this part. So when the overhead cranes are zooming around, Joe just, so they're in the middle and I get it, right? Like we've watched stuff, like we've watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There's plenty of quipping in that.
Yeah.
I think because the quipping was so bad in this, I was like, I don't know why you're wasting your breath on saying this to each other. So like they're dodging. And then I feel like a character in a video game, Joe said breathlessly as he stumbled to his feet. I like it better when I'm the one holding the controls. Come on, Frank replied grimly. If we're lucky, maybe we'll find some power pills to swallow along the way. Why are you saying this to? I mean, I guess power they're pill. Brothers.
Well, it's like Maddie said, they have like a delayed or suppressed fear response. So they feel literally nothing. They're just they like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There are power pills.
The actual like, so the actual like mythos of the Hardy Boys is actually like very dark. They're just like, I thought you'd be the one to get me to feel something. Trying to like.
Yeah. At this point, I feel like Fenton Hardy created them. They are androids that he made to be his son. Like, they're trying to learn how to be human over the course of all these books, and it's just not working.
What does it mean, father? What does it mean?
Yeah. They're like Data having to be taught what comedy is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's a cigar. Tilt it like this.
Yes. Say all these jokes.
Here's Program Joe Piscopo. Yes. He can help you.
The world's greatest comedian.
So, Lindsay, you were wondering how they knew that the plastic explosives
were going to go off when he lost.
It's a really easy explanation. I don't understand how you didn't get it.
Okay.
I'm going to read it because it's really easy.
Okay.
So Amanda's like looking at the explosives.
Uh-huh.
That stuff is wired to the circuit for the attract mode. What you see on the screen when no one's playing. The instant the attract mode is activated, the electric current will detonate the explosive. And then he's like, when's that going to happen? And she's like, the moment Joe loses.
Oh.
So, duh.
I see.
Like, case reading it closed. Seven times, I get it. Where
case
I'm like, okay.
86, closed.
The end.
Yeah. We figured out who was pirating all those. Wait, no, you didn't.
Wait. No, book closed.
Ended.
There were a lot of things like that in the book where it was like jargon that I like immediately, even though I personally am not a computer, know right away that means this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, the fact that it's like, oh, it's hooked up to the attract wire. What?
Yeah.
What?
Like it took a couple of reads for me to understand what they were talking about. So like, I think it's that the terminology that I know is not the terminology that they're using. So like, and maybe this is just because it's not the fucking 90s, but when she's like attract mode. So I assume that's like the title page where it's like insert coin or like, and then it just has like the like fighters. So that would be signaled upon, you know, if you game over or lose all your lives, it would go back and it'd be like insert coin or whatever. I guess if he wins the entire game, you'd get title or you'd get sequence, like title sequence or not title, credit sequence. Mm-hmm. And then it would go back to attract mode. So you would still.
That's what I'm saying is like, how does she know that specifically losing?
Yeah.
So attract mode maybe means something else or also is possibly completely made up.
Well, she's a tech whiz, a real gadget.
And she's 30.
Amanda Boggs knows what it is.
Yeah. I think what it was is that it would also happen if he won and they sat through all the credits and then it came back to attract mode.
I guess if the credits played, they'd have time to escape.
But also like, here's the other
thing. She's seeing a little lump of thing attached to a circuit board. It's literally all she can see.
She's such a genius, though.
Like, she's like Neo in the Matrix.
She learned about it in Japan.
She looks at something. Yeah. She learned how to read code on a circuit board through a circuit board in Japan because they're so advanced.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was speaking Japanese with someone at some point in the book. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that must mean she's successful.
Yeah.
It was hard to understand what that was supposed to tell us.
It's a very 90s thing of like Japanese businessmen. Like, I have an important meeting with the Japanese investors.
Yes.
Ah, we're being bought out by the Japanese company.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of like late 80s, early 90s, you know, like we saw this in like Blade Runner mm-hmm. of like the American fear of like the power of Japan, basically, as mm-hmm. far as like tech and trade.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was kind of like, oh, she's making big business deals.
Yeah.
And she's also very cosmopolitan.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Oh, God. Can we talk about her security system at her apartment?
Oh, my God.
That
oh my
she has God. Rigged to only understand Japanese.
Okay, I also forgot about that. I forgot the Japanese thing there.
And I also, for all that we are
taking Konnichiwa.
To, yeah. Oh, my God. Which means when she says konnichiwa, morning. And they were like, what does that mean?
What's I was
that?
Like, please.
You are the worst detectives in the fucking world.
And also just humans. Have you not just like existed for a while?
I know.
But for all that we are taken through the rigors of her security system, literally everyone she knows how to get into her apartment.
Yeah.
And like she told everyone this. Stop telling people this, Amanda.
The security system.
These teams didn't need to know.
Exactly like what you were saying. All this rigmarole of us like learning the ins and outs of this fucking security system. And how tech savvy she is and all this stuff. None of that pays off. Like, we don't experience.
Mm-hmm. Not even a little. It's not like we learned how, like, oh, Jack bypassed it using some sort of. No, it's just like someone broke in.
Again, that's part of why I thought it was her. It was going to be her. Because it's like, well, if it's so impressive, she must be the only one who can crack it.
Yeah.
It's rigged.
Exactly.
Listen to her.
And she's literally the only one in the company who knows a lot of the passwords.
Mm-hmm. And she's the only one in the company that speaks the mysterious language of Japanese.
Of the Far East.
Yeah. Yeah. It did have this kind of like Orientalism vibe to it, which I was like maybe.
No, thank you.
Like,
well, we all know video games and technology are of the Japanese persuasion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That means she's really smart.
Oh, but in that same scene, okay, this is just ridiculous because, it's like they explain a ton of this useless stuff to us. Because she just starts going off on all the stuff she has in her apartment. Like, isn't this shit cool? You love it. And then, like, she starts talking about, like, one thing that they did predict is GPS. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
They were right about GPS.
Yeah.
But my favorite part was, like, this is not a television set. It's a satellite navigation system. It can pin down your exact location within a few yards anywhere in the world. And then... the army used those during Desert Storm, Frank from Mars. I read an article about them.
And thanks, I imported Frank. It into my memory banks.
Thanks,
he's,
Frank, for including
the smart
that.
One. Yeah, he reads articles about Desert Storm.
And you know that Frank is always finding some way to squeeze Desert Storm into every conversation.
Oh,
it's like,
good.
Oh, that's a gun. You know they used those in Desert Storm.
Wow, sand. There was a lot of that in Desert Storm, I assume.
I read an article.
When he walks in and he sees that one programmer or artist wearing camo pants, he's like, oh, fatigues.
Yeah.
They wore those in Desert Storm.
Yeah.
See, I'm like you, the adult.
He's like, human.
I can handle this one.
I know current events.
Joe, take a back seat. I know just what to say.
Speaking of back seats, okay. Which one of them is driving when they're tailed?
Joe,
who to escape a tail almost crashes them into a
the
gas
fact
station.
That yeah, Joe instantly is like, we've got a tail. Time to fucking blow up a gas station. I was like, you didn't even try any kind of evasive. Yeah. You were like, we're all dying today.
It was like, well, I changed lanes twice, so it's hopeless. I have to.
Yeah.
We have to try to get through this intersection before them.
Oh, my God. Oh, but I think I interrupted. Maddie, was there more on Amanda's
gadgets
bits and bops
security.
That are in her home?
Oh, let me see. There was a bunch of.
She's got all of that stuff.
Just like her projection system. And also she has like almost nothing in her apartment. She has like two chairs and a projector. And
that's when I thought maybe she was the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like those were the key parts of it. Yeah.
Well, it's also just like her, if you think about how all of this is introduced to us, she is behaving so strangely. She mm-hmm. is like frenetically going through all of the gadgets in her apartment to show them off to these teens. Mm-hmm. She walks in, immediately turns on a screen, plays a video game real quick, tosses it aside, picks up a tiny TV, tosses it aside, picks up a this, and is like, oh, that's a that. Tosses it aside, picks up a this. This is a this.
She had very like cokey
yeah,
vibes.
They must be like, whoa, what did she do in the bathroom when we were looking?
Yeah. Yeah, fortunately, Frank and Joe are so dumb, they would not think that's weird at
True.
All.
True, yeah.
Just no, they're like, just like, oh, cool.
Yes, I am receiving this. New information. Yes.
Yeah. They're like, logging.
Input.
Downloaded. Complete.
At one point, one of them turns to one of the pieces of technology and is like, nice to meet you, fellow machine. Yeah.
They're like, I should introduce myself.
Resistance is futile. I mean, hello.
Plugs into it.
Can I get a cheeseburger? Yes.
Yeah.
And the woman will have a health salad with extra sprouts.
Health salad.
This fucking diner that's off the side of the road that health has salad. Your classic double cheeseburgers with the works, fries and shakes, and then a health salad with extra sprouts and diet dressing. What the fuck is diet dressing?
Oh my God.
Light dressing.
Light. Probably wishbone light.
Yeah.
Just never heard it called diet before.
Yes,
never.
Diet dressing is not the terminology.
It does. Also, I've never heard the phrase health salad.
No,
what does it consist of? All I know is it comes with sprouts and that you can have extra if you want.
you know what it is? It's probably just some fucking lettuce and like shaved carrots.
Yeah,
and
like iceberg.
Yeah, this is for iceberg. Sure just a typical American half salad with like light ranch dressing.
With like some tomato wedges, maybe a cucumber slice.
If you're lucky.
And then sprouts.
Yeah, when I was first talking about the book with Lindsay, I pointed out that they eat nothing but cheeseburgers. It's a whole
non-stop fucking cheeseburgers, yeah. Man.
And she pointed out that like teens in these books, that's all they eat. Like every
cheeseburgers,
book.
Pizza, and milk.
It's, yeah, the two food groups are like very 1950s like teenage diner food or 90s health food, which is like a health salad. Cottage
a bagel
cheese.
With cream cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skim milk.
Yeah. Very dated. Or like group spaghetti. Like, like I'm going to make spaghetti for everybody. Like that kind of meal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I said, Maddie, would you like to come on and discuss?
Yeah. And boy, would I. I'm having a blast.
Well, we're so glad you came and brought this book into our lives.
So Jack totally, when they figure out it's Jack and he starts to just like really fucking lose it at the end, like and they're turning to each other going, I think he's totally gone bananas. Like he's just having some kind of breakdown because he's like giggling to himself and like kind of speaking in a higher pitched voice and sounding like a little boy in my mind.
Yeah, he was speaking strangely. Yeah. He kept being like, like wild.
And then you get told, no, you can't do that. You're not old enough.
There was some cursed energy going on with him.
Yes. Let me see if I can find. Oh yeah, and that he's not trying to like get away with this intense technology of virtual reality to like sell it to other nations. He's like, you always liked Willie better than me.
Yeah.
And he's like, when he did his break, you all thought it was funny. When I did my credit card break, you didn't. Because Willie, it is said, plays this prank on Tom where it's like he can only withdraw like $2.50 at most from the ATM, which I don't know where this 50 cents is coming from, but okay.
Yeah, in joke, I guess.
Yeah.
Weren't privy to that origin. It's like
the ATM spits out quarters.
Yeah.
And then the prank that I guess Jack plays on Amanda's credit card is that it just gets denied to the point where the company is like, cut the card up in front of her.
Okay, when they cut the card in front of her and her two teenage boy dates.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so insane. Like the fact that someone, I mean, I've seen it in movies and stuff. I just didn't know people actually did that.
Yeah, and he specifically, the waiter is like, the company told me to do this.
And he does it in front of her.
I mean,
you know what he should have done is like, the company told me to do this, and then slide the little billfold thing, and then she opens it and it's sliced up inside. Instead of like getting out your big scissors and being like, timed for cutting. Yeah.
That was very actually, theatrical.
Yeah. Before government regulation on credit card rules, that was law.
You had to use your big giant scissors to cut it in front of everybody.
That did seem like such a thing growing up, where you would hear about somebody's card getting declined and it being cut up in front of them, though.
Mm-hmm. Is it because of, and this is pure postulation, okay, is it because of like, because nowadays, right, your company can you can tell your company digitally, right, and then they can go and just like deactivate it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think maybe you couldn't, and it had to be
that
destroyed.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, before this gets any more out of hand, destroy it. It's something like that, maybe?
We can't block those numbers from being used or something.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Wild.
Right.
Yeah, now I can deactivate my card within an app.
Yeah, just click one thing. Oh, it's been stolen.
Amanda would go crazy over this technology.
Yeah. Oh, she
would
flip. What a
fun gadget.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel like the con was A, very jank, and B, very small? Like, didn't it seem really small? Like,
yeah, like just they only go to one other booth.
Yeah.
Like a cafeteria.
Was this like that Tumblr con that they did in like,
with
the ball
Dash
pit?
Con.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it just that? Because that was the other thing. And that this was the thing that I thought was really interesting too, which was, again, I wasn't really hardcore gaming in 94, so I don't have a ton of context for this, but it just seemed really interesting, like, the way their demo setups were, their demo systems were set up. Because it definitely seemed, and I guess now we're in the world of the console, which is different because consoles are things that you would, like, you know, try to advertise and sell themselves on top of games. But it was really interesting to me that, like, the gaming systems were like hidden behind these curtains, and then they were like only advertising the games.
Mm-hmm.
And also picturing these giant fucking systems where they're like, oh, we need these huge giant computers to demonstrate these games. But then I'm like, but then who's buying the games? Because no one has that kind of thing in their house.
Yeah, because it seems like also everyone at this con is a video game manufacturer.
Yeah.
So what is the point of showing the games to just other people who are making games and
is
not
it like
people
a,
who are buying them or distributing them?
Or is
them
it like a B2B thing where it's like maybe arcade manufacturers or something?
We were never like, told of them, if so.
And they, I mean, and they were not in on whatever secrets.
Everybody just has their own like server room with them.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
But it was a very, it seemed like very, I don't know. It just seemed very small. It seemed like a very small con.
Yes. But at least they had cheeseburgers. So
they did have cheeseburgers.
No one has to starve.
No, no. I mean, maybe Amanda until she can get a health salad.
Yeah, maybe Amanda
until she can get a health salad. Like, I can't. I'm a woman. I'm not allowed to have a burger in the 90s.
Yeah.
One other thing that occurred to me unrelated is that there's a lot of driving in this.
Oh, so much driving.
There's a lot of driving and like, weirdly specific notes about where they're driving.
And also a lot of commenting on how sick they are of this same route.
Yes.
In and out of Silicon Valley.
San Francisco and Silicon Valley.
Yeah. They're like, oh, getting real used to this route. I'll be glad to say goodbye to this route when we're done.
There's also, and again, this kind of touches back on the non-stakes of it all, but like them being captured by...
Oh, yeah.
Like customs. Either cops or customs or thugs. And then them being like, you don't know who these boys are. They're the son of the friend of Fenton. And then they're like, oh, okay. We'll let them go.
Yeah, it feels so wienerly how many times they have to be like, call my dad back in Bayside. Bayport or wherever it is.
Also, okay.
You don't understand. I'm son of internationally known detective, Fenton Hardy.
But I also, in addition to being very confused about the physics of the crane attack. I was there was this first crane attack that I also didn't understand.
Down when, at the docks.
It was very short.
The docks that resulted in Pratt's death.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other video game manufacturer.
Wait, so he was working crushed?
With Jack. Yeah, he was crushed in his car by
in his
Jack.
Car?
By a shipping container.
By Jack, because Jack hacked
the crane.
Crane, okay.
He was using a remote joystick on the crane.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's right, yeah.
I take issue with this.
That is says, such,
yeah, that checks out.
Is, that's such a, like, Rocky and Bullwinkle type thing to do to somebody, like, with the control. I don't know. It feels very, like, Pink Panther-y to me. It's, like, old school cartoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boris and Natasha over there operating.
Very
joystick.
Yeah.
And also the cops are so trusting about it being an accident. They're like, we talked to the crane operator and he said it just started going crazy on its own. So what we've got on our hands here, boys, is a real good old fashioned accident. Like, and they're just done with the investigation. Done.
There's no, like, forensics done. There's no, like, no one even sets foot in that crane. Like, they're like, we believe you. Cranes are tricky.
On the lack of stakes is when they're captured by customs, who it turns out Amanda was coordinating with, unbeknownst to Tom, apparently. Or no, beknownst to Tom.
Yeah. So, which makes it even weirder that he gets the Hardys.
Yeah. Like, why are you, don't, you do not need on the ground arcade spies.
Yeah.
But so we see Amanda talking to them and it's like, who is she in cahoots with? Who's this? It's the person in the blue sedan where we almost died escaping them. And she was unfazed. And here she was talking to them. And oh my gosh, what's going on? And they get captured by them. And immediately, not only are they not bad guys.
Yeah.
Not only are Joe and Frank not in danger.
Nope.
But already customs has run a background check on them and is ready to bring them into the investigation.
They're clean.
Yeah, they're clean.
Okay, on top of it.
We looked up a few of your clips about cases you solved in your small New England town and we're ready to work with you, boys.
Also, I know that they were trying to make this guy, this customs guy, seem scary at first, like red herring him.
Mm-hmm.
But he literally shows his gun to Amanda and is like, get rid of him.
I was
I don't know what he's communicating.
Yeah. That seems
other
pretty
than
clear cut.
Kill these boys.
Stink. Yeah. Get rid of him. Click.
Get out my switchblade, spin it around.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I was just adjusting my gun while I said to, like, you know, send him back to Bayport or wherever.
Yeah. Get rid of him. Unrelated. My gun is now loaded again.
I turned
Side
the safety
note.
Off.
Again, unrelated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Authorities are very willing to give up questioning these very suspicious boys and who are very out of their depth and out of their jurisdiction to do anything. They're like, well, all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess if you were hired to do that, even though, like, we're
are
not obligated to work with any other body, let alone a couple of, like, self-deputized teens.
I know. Also, yeah, I don't think they're paid, these boys.
Yeah, right?
Isn't that child labor? Is that, like, is that allowed?
I think I was imagining that they would be paid eventually, but I did think to myself, like, oh, weird, a retainer was never discussed.
Yeah. Well, they're putting out a lot of expenses here.
Yeah.
Just minimum
all that
wage.
Gas money, driving.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Not only that, but, like, Amanda is like, oh, don't worry about this one. I've got it since you're technically, like, doing work for us. And then her card gets declined and they have to pick up the check.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot that they have to pick up the check. And they're like, don't worry, Amanda. We've got it.
And then she hops in her Italian sports car and they're like, I guess she could have paid.
Yeah. She never pays them back.
Like, yeah, are you telling me true. This woman doesn't have another card? Come on.
Or just, like, cash on her?
Yeah, it's
a
1994.
Chance to play Death Mall is payment enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
We're being played in video game experience.
Well, and also they get to demonstrate the game for shareholders? $1,000?
That's true. Yes, at the end. Yeah.
That's
at
their VidCon. Ultimate payment.
Yeah.
Oh, at VidCon.
Wow, how did you guys get so good at beating up bad guys?
Yeah.
I guess we've just played a lot of video games.
Okay, I'm Frank and Joe. Fuck off into the sun.
Yeah.
The thing that shocked me about this book, because we've read some other Hardy Boys books.
Right.
I was shocked. I know that there was karate in the book, but I was shocked that there wasn't more karate, because they don't do very much. Like, they do a couple of like karate kicks and roundabout, but they're not really, I guess it's because they're never really in danger.
Yeah, almost entirely just dodging.
Yes, yeah. Lots of dodging.
A little bit of light jogging.
Light jogging, yeah. Pulling each other out of the way of a container.
Yeah.
Seeing a man die. They do see men die. They,
that's or true.
Willie, they watch Willie get crushed to death.
Yeah, two crushings.
Yeah.
They both died the same way.
Yeah.
Very horrifying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's not a fun death. Although maybe a quick one.
Yeah,
depends,
hopefully.
Yeah.
I'd prefer that probably over like suffocating in a room full of computer servers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That part, I was like, that was pretty scary.
And that was creative. That was a creative, dangerous situation. Because they get locked in, glass is super thick, and because somebody trips a fire alarm, carbon dioxide gets pumped into the room to deprive the fire of oxygen, because you can't just like put a bunch
spray
of water on the computers.
Water, yeah.
So I thought that was pretty creative. But again, they get out of it very easy.
Do you think the movie Tenet stole that from this?
Yes.
Because the whole fucking beginning of Tenet is them being like, well, we have to walk around in no oxygen. I can't really remember.
I have to confess, I have not seen Tenet.
Guess what?
I was just willing to agree.
You don't need to see that movie. I'm going to tell you something.
You've also not seen it, Maddie?
I have not seen it, unfortunately.
We have only Kelly's
fortunately, word. I don't know.
Literally something that one of the characters says, the villain says out loud, and this is his whole reasoning for why he's doing what he's doing, okay? To this lady that I guess is like, whatever, she's some lady. And he's like, if I can't have you, no one will. And I was like, wow.
Whoa, really?
We're really, what, like something that fucking cheesy?
That's the stand-in dialogue if I've ever heard it.
And then get this. Ready? One of the last lines in the movie, okay? Because one of the guys is going backwards in time, the other guy's going forward, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end, one of the guys says to the other, I guess this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And the other guy goes, no, it's the end. And I was like,
what?
How
you can't
dare
just
you? How
do that.
Dare you? That's so embarrassing.
Is this a student film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Inception is not a good movie. We all acted as though it was, just because it's like an interesting idea, but it is actually 90% exposition, 7% special effects, 3% story.
Mm. Here's the thing about Tenet. I know there are people out there that like that movie, and God bless you. I don't think you're stupid. I personally detested it. I thought the in reverse fight scenes were cool. That they looked really cool. But it was just very like, did you know that Tenet forwards and backwards is the same? Like a lot of that kind of bullshit. And I was like, okay.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was very like, whoa.
Well, words can be backwards, but be same.
Yeah. And it just, I was like, I can't believe you're making these actors say these things. Like, but I think that like the overarching like idea behind it was like medium interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't think it's a terrible movie. I just thought it was a very embarrassing movie.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fair assessment of a Christopher Nolan movie.
Well, and I feel like a lot of Christopher Nolan movies, and this is Micah has said this about them, is that like while you're in the theater, you're like, whoa, this is cool. And then the second you leave, you're like, okay, I think
that
sucked.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because when you're not presented with like the visuals and the action,
spectacle,
you like realize how easily it falls apart on the page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyway,
much like
I do like the idea of Christopher Nolan looking at Hardy Boys number 86, puts it down. Wow, I gotta use
that. I gotta use that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hardy
But I did think that was cool, and it was scary, and it was grounded in like, oh well, yeah, they wouldn't be able to use like.
Yeah, like using an observation about the scenario to very good effect. Yeah,
yeah, it was cool. And it was scary. I thought it was pretty scary. Mm-hmm. But they get out.
Yeah, they're fine.
The moment, the way they're able to get out too, is she's like, oh, I guess I can like rip the wires out of the wall and just like trip the wires myself. And she tries red and blue and she's like, it didn't work. And he's like, what about trying blue and yellow? And she looks at him like, how do you know about wires? I guess I'll try it. And she tries it and it works. And she asks him later, how did you know to do blue and yellow? And he's like, it was the only ones left. So I was just like, hey, you're taking a guess.
Took a guess, babe.
Dude. And when
all
she
that
looks
brain
at
power
him,
I get from eating burgers.
I know. Yeah, it's the meat and cheese equation.
Yep.
Yeah.
When he says like the blue and yellow thing, and she looks at him as if she's like, "Who are you?"
Like, yeah, like so who sent you to me.
Yeah,
what
it's
are
like
we doing.
Are we gonna do this?
And then the other Hardy Boy is just like standing there. So the whole time. Yeah. He's like, and also me.
He's off in the corner in sleep mode.
He's just like powering walking down into a wall the whole time.
That's the other thing. It's like she's a genius. She knows all these gadgets, but it's almost like she doesn't think to try and escape the room until they're like, we need to escape. And she's like, well, I don't know. I guess we could do this one thing to escape, maybe.
Like, wow, it worked. How'd you know?
Oh, boy.
Like, I tried yelling Japanese phrases at it.
Yeah, yeah, she was just standing there saying konnichiwa like 27 times.
Konnichiwa.
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 Konnichiwa. I have two guests. Konnichiwa.
Yeah.
But yeah, that... I would say this, definitely read this one if you're...
It's a ride.
It's a ride. And it's quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot happens. So yeah. I was shocked at how much was happening. It was just like so fast.
It was a breezy one. It was a breezy action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for joining us, Maddie. We really appreciate you coming on. Do you have anything you would like to plug?
Please watch Infinity Train on HBO Max if you are able. And I hope you enjoy it. And I don't know what else to plug.
Because everything will be out good in another 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you online?
My Twitter is at hamshears, H-A-M. Have I ever spelled it before? H-A-M, ham, shears, S-H-E-A-R-S.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Please watch Infinity Train. Get HBO Max. I don't know what to tell you. Just do it. I don't mind being the bitch on here saying that. Get it. Get it. Because I have no skin in the game.
Not to our international listeners, we understand that that's not maybe going to be the case for you, but maybe it is. Look into it.
But yeah, it's there.
Move
for you
somewhere where you can get it.
Yeah. Do you really like the show or what? Come on.
Yeah, get a VPN. Then you can just do whatever.
Are you not a fan of mine?
Yeah. Wow.
You listen to this podcast and you haven't watched Infinity Train yet? Fuck
prove
you.
It.
Stop listening to this then. I don't need you. Unless you donate on Patreon and then thank you so much.
In which case we desperately need you. Thank you so much. www.patreon.com/JaneCreeps. And also a big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/JaneCreeps. We got a lot of really cool stuff for you. A very special thank you to our Patreon producers.
Thank you, Aaron Fernandez.
Adam Howitz.
Amanda Nangle.
Ashley Fritz.
Brian Petty II.
Claire Moore.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Amata.
Danny B.
Aaron B.
Gabriella Santiago.
Gianna Fernandez.
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jessica Yu.
Jonathan Venable.
Saoirse Descaro.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Katie Lilly.
Katie Olsner.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Chris Darina.
Landry Desmond.
Larry Nguyen.
Laura Hooper.
Luke Bartek.
Mandalay Wolschlager.
Max B.
Megan Lozier.
Mel Leos.
Melody.
Micah Yunus,
Miguel Camacho,
Miranda Hester,
Molly G,
Molly Marks,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel Bessert,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
excuse me,
Robert L,
Rogue Kalahua,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sylvie T,
Tristan Buckner,
Victoria Beck,
Victoria Gray,
and Victoria Valdez.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody.
Do we have any other biz?
No, and we're not sure what we're reading next week just yet. So
none of us know.
Well, life's a mystery. Get the Hardy Boys on it.
They'll solve the case as soon as they're informed.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you again, Maddie, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Maddie,
for having me.
Lindsay, do the sign off.
Okay.
So I was like, I can't do
it. I panic every
time. Who am I?
So we will see you next time. In the meantime, please get vaccinated and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.